Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica, Mitch Albom, and Bob Ryan.
I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press.
I'm Mike Lupica, MLB.com and the New York Daily News.
I am Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN. We welcome you to the Monday morning edition of the Sports Reporters. We join you each Monday and Thursday, and we're kind of pumped about things. Right now, this is the NCAA tournament time. And, Mike, we're 4 days into the tournament, gentlemen, and I'll just put it this way and throw up the jump ball for you guys. I am getting what I like out of the tournament. Are you?
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's funny. My parting shot today will be how overwrought these announcers are, okay? It has been extremely entertaining, and there's one super team this year. And when I look at this field, Mitch, I don't know how you feel about that. When I look at this field, these teams are so evenly matched across the board. Once you see the game being played, and if you don't know what the seedings are, you see, especially in this crazy year, how, right, you know, how equal everybody looks. And so when a lower seed beats a higher seed, it doesn't make me feel as if the earth ought to stop spinning on its axis. And I was saying to the guys before we started today, when I watch Loyola play, and I know how good their regular season record is, they're just underseeded as far as I am concerned, despite the fact that they were in a Final Four a few years ago and have a great coach. So it has been extremely entertaining. It has been fun as a sports fan to watch this. But, oh, my God, this Cinderella stuff wears me out. It does.
I think the announcers are broadcasting in previous years, but the teams are playing in this year, and that's the problem. The broadcasters haven't adjusted for a coronavirus year. In a year like this, where many of these teams have had stops and starts, yep, have played with various lineups because of players who got tagged or had exposures to things, went 2 weeks sometimes without playing at all. These are not the machines that some of the really top programs tend to come into in other years when they've played, you know, 30 games for or more, and they have, you know, all played with the same lineups, and they're used to one another, and they're not going to get thrown when they're up against a team they've never seen before or had one day to prepare for with tape, and suddenly they're behind by 10 points. So nobody can be surprised. Nobody, and I said this before the tournament started, that top seeds are going to get knocked off at a higher clip this year than in the past. And announcers should probably take that into account. But does it make for an interesting tournament? Sure it does. Everybody wants to see, you know, the Loyola Chicago's and the Oral Roberts Universities advancing here. Not to the point where you lose any, you lose a sense of having any team that you think really deserves it. But, you know, now and then knocking somebody up. I have to say, of the upsets.
By the way, I don't think Loyola is Oral Roberts. I don't think they're on the same platform.
No, they're not. But I did not think that they would beat Illinois because I thought Illinois was a great team. We all said it. I mean, we all said we could see Illinois being actually the top team out of the Big Ten, which sent nine teams to the tournament. I Bob, you probably know this better. How many are left already of the Big Ten? I know they lost Michigan State. They lost Illinois.
Rutgers should have beat Houston.
They lost Ohio State.
Rutgers should have won last night. And didn't.
Iowa
plays Michigan on Monday. Yeah,
and we know
Michigan are left,
and we know Michigan's vulnerable.
Maryland,
gentlemen. I want to backdate this a little bit because everything Mitch says is true, but there's something else, and this whole idea of upsets. I've been saying this for a number of years. I don't really honestly believe, as we've seen this team, and we have watched this tournament closely, and Mike and I, particularly, I know, have really loved this tournament since we, you know, that true upsets don't even start till 4:13. You should never be surprised at any quote-unquote upset any earlier than the 4:13 game. I'm telling you. And I can't believe I had discussion with people about whether 9 over 8 is an upset. Of course it's not an upset. 8 and 9 are the same team always. It's the same level. Now, there's a lot of discussion about the misseeding, underseeding of Loyola. And the funny thing about it to me
but
is this.
It's true, Bobby. It is.
No. I mean, the funny thing is this. I for one said, oh, man, too bad Loyola got in that 8-9 because that means you got to play one. Too bad for them. It turned out it was the other way around. That Illinois played an underseeded 8 or nine, whatever they were. I don't care whether they're eight or nine. Eight, I think they're eight. They played an underseeded eight who probably should have been a three or four. So that's the funny part to me, that's the way that one got
and
turned
Mitch,
on.
I thought Illinois was really good, okay? I'm not going to back off of that. I still think they're really good. They had a bad day. But my opinion about what might happen to them changed as soon as I saw Loyola play basketball. Because if you can do three things in this tournament, you're going to do well. One, get open threes or layups and play defense. And they play together. I love the big guy, Crabwick. And as soon as, that's what I'm saying, Mitch, as soon as you see them, as soon as you apply the eye test to some of these teams, then you just take the idea of upset out of your head.
Well, they won 18 of their last 19. I mean, they shouldn't have been. They were in the top 20 in all the polls. And, you know, I agree with Bob. Once you're in that grouping, you're not coming out of, you know, 100th ranked team in the country. You're a top 20, top 17, 16 team. You can beat anybody. And they just were on fire. I mean, and they shut down Illinois in ways that nobody has shut down Illinois this year.
Crotwick started the game going right at Kofern.
He's a remarkable looking kid for a basketball player. I keep looking at him. I say, what sport does he look like he plays? Because he doesn't look like he plays basketball necessarily. He looks like he could be a good wrestler or something else. But he sure knows how to play when he's out on the court. And you're right. Nobody should be surprised at this. And they're not. I'm glad you made that distinction. This is not Oral Roberts University. Not in any case. And it wouldn't surprise anybody if they're in a Final Four.
And here's the thing about Kovac, okay? We've heard about point forwards before, Ryan, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He was the first point center. Maybe Bill Walton. You can make a case that way back the day, he played like a point center, okay? This kid has such an evolved view of the game. And he is a veteran, and he did play in the Final Four, and they aren't afraid to throw him the ball, and he's not afraid to come out to the top of the key. I'm telling you, I love Porter Moser. Here's the thing about him, too. Bob and Mitch, they're going to have a hard time, I think, especially if they make an even deeper run this time, holding on to them, him, especially at a time when Indiana's looking for a coach.
Yeah. Krotwig, to me, is the perfect Pete Carril center. That would have been Pete's dream, a guy like that. But he knows how to play this game. He does know how to play the game.
He's so much fun, and he's so enthusiastic, and he was so damn happy after the game. I mean, everybody's happy after they win. But this is, and Mitch, is there something you'd like to say about Loyola today, Mitch? Is there anything?
Yes, Sister Jean, who I have studied. I know everything about her now, and I want to go on the record that I know the whole story, and so there will be no momentary lapses of remembering her name.
Bob, you know what he's afraid of? He's afraid that he was going to hell, Bob. Oh, well. That's why.
Okay.
Well, I think eternal damnation is a good motivation to do more research, and my research is done. Now, let's talk about the Oral Roberts win there, because we say that's of a different... Two wins. I mean, they're 15. You know, we don't just talk about beating Florida. It was getting there in the first place. What do you make of them, Bob? I mean, is this like a weekend thing that's going to end when they get a little time off?
Oh, the only history we have is Florida Gulf Coast. The first 15 to get there this far since then, and they ran into the wall at that point. This kid, the big kid, O'Connor is good, and of course the guard Abmas, it's hard to pronounce his name because it spells Abmas, is a terrific scorer. They're two legit players, definitely.
And by the way, they both played 40 minutes. They both played 40 minutes. I love that. No, they're one of those
players.
Teams that you'd never put eyeballs on, and then you watch them play. And again, another example of if you didn't know which one was the higher seeded team, you wouldn't have known. And they held up down the stretch, and they made threes, and they've got kids who aren't afraid to shoot the ball. And they're legit. I mean, a 15 making the Sweet 16, that's a pretty good deal in this tournament.
No, it doesn't happen too often. No, as I said, last one was Florida Gulf Coast. Yeah, but I say that they're legitimate. They're a legitimate upset team. You know, as a, no, but certainly not Loyola. But they're legitimate as an upset the team. They are definitely.
I want to talk about Syracuse for a second because you know what I see every year about Syracuse is this: if you don't see that defense, if you have not been exposed to that 2-3 zone. it is always effective. You can look at as much film as you want to on it. And they, Bob and Mitch, they are that rare team that is consistently better in the tournament than they are during the regular season. And then when you add on the father-son story of Jim Boeheim and Buddy Boeheim, they've legit played themselves. I mean, West Virginia tried to come back in the second half, but boy, did we see again. And it doesn't always hold up. You do not want to dig yourself a hole in the first half of these games. You just don't, because after that, you feel like you're pushing a rock up a hill.
Right. Yeah, I want to talk for a second about some teams that are still to play. But first, a word from our good friends at Geico.
Hey, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
I want to just say something about Michigan. Whereas other teams in the Big Ten, including Ohio State and including Illinois, got tripped up early on. Michigan State got knocked out by UCLA and didn't kind of even formally get into the bracket. Michigan, I think, may become the Big Ten's best hope. They've got an evening game tonight against LSU, which is not going to be easy. But, you know, if they had Isaiah Livers, I would be picking them to go easily to the Final Four, if not the championship. It'd be interesting to see how they, with a limited lineup, continue to advance, whereas some of these other Big Ten teams who had everybody got knocked out. And do you think, Bob, that the Big Ten was overrated in some way?
Well, as somebody who was singing their song all year, Mitch, and was telling people that Big Ten tournament's going to be a monster. That Big Ten, there are half a dozen teams to really like in the Big Ten for the way they play. And I was on their bandwagon, and I'm stunned that it's, that they're getting wiped out as much as they have been to the point where the Pac-12 is doing better than the Big Ten. And that's totally surprising. So I did not see this coming, no. I did not.
And of course, they're already asking Juwan Howard as if he's going to leave to go to the pros. Yeah. it's barely even been here. And it was, okay, this is just a stepping stone to go back to the NBA. And I'm glad that he kind of put that fire out the other day when he was on, I think, with Jalen Rose. And he said, no,
I'm sorry. We're having this conversation on Monday morning. And in a few hours, games are going to be played, and we don't talk to people again until Thursday. There's some things we may say about these games that will have a shelf life, the ones yet to be played, of about 3 hours. So I want to just go back.
That's why I picked the night game, because I figured, okay.
They'll give us a few extra hours. When you look back at these games, does the Big Ten look a little overrated at this point? Rutgers should have, and will be kicking itself the entire offseason for the way they helped. Bob, did you watch much of that game, Mitch? Bob, they just sucked the life out of the game when they had a 3-point lead. Their running clock that completely got out of the stuff that had gotten them like a 9 or a 10-point lead. I forget. I think it got to 10. It was a shame, because I felt they were in total control of that game at that point.
Yep, until it came time, you got to close, and they did not. They were terrible at it.
They missed a couple of layups in the last minute. Great looks. I mean, right there. I mean,
Steve Peichel has done a terrific job with that team, and I would have thought they would have conducted themselves better than they did. Yeah, they handed it back over.
Yeah. Well, as we're recording this now, there's only 3 out of 9 left, and they all play today. Number 1 Michigan, number 2 Iowa, number 10 Maryland. So by Thursday, the whole conference could be gone. But you know that in a crazy year like this, we'll end the way that we began. Nobody should be surprised. Nobody should be surprised at anybody doing anything, including 15s beating 2s and
Villanova,
and
Mitch. If Villanova had Colin Gillespie, okay, and losing him is a big loss. You saw the potential with that team yesterday. They're really good, and there's another team that always seems to maybe underperform a little in the regular season and then show up at tournament time. But Bobby, he's that kid getting a knee was a big loss. To
Villanova. And that's why I wrote them off. But I didn't even have them beating Winthrop. So they've you know held up as well as they could. There's going to be a limit, you would think, to what they can accomplish. But no, that was a shame. You know, just like when you have these things happen, like when Michigan and Livers, it's a shame. Let me just point out one thing, by the way, before we exit. The Midwest regional next weekend will feature a 12, an 11, and an 8 seed, as well as Houston, the two.
I hope that travel doesn't bother these kids, you know, switching time zones. And, you know, Mitch, you just worry about, you know, the getting on a plane now and,
we don't have to do that. You worry about them walking down the hallway to the ice machine.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to shift over to the NBA. And speaking of somebody missing, a pretty prominent name just went out. But first, a word from our friends at American Giant. More doesn't always mean better. Today, we buy 2.5 times more clothes than we used to. Not only that, we haven't worn over 80% of the clothing in our closet in the last 12 months. We buy more than we need because, well, it's cheap and disposable. But American Giant wants to change that. They make quality clothes here in the USA that are wearable for years, so you get what you want, not a bunch of cheap clothes you don't need and you'll toss out. I've gotten the hoodie and their t-shirts, and I can tell the minute I put it on, okay, this is a keeper. I'm going to be having this for years to come. You can tell the quality of the craftsmanship, the quality. You know when you have a cheap hoodie on or a cheap t-shirt on, you say, I'll probably get 2 wears out of this, and then I'll put it in the dryer, and that'll be the end of it. Not so for the clothes from American Giant. And it feels good knowing American Giant's supply chain is 100% in the USA. They support hardworking people and local communities by making products that last. Get 15% off your first order when you use promo code REPORTERS at American-Giant.com. That's 15% off when you use the code REPORTERS at American-Giant.com. Okay, LeBron James was carrying the Lakers while Anthony Davis healed from his injuries. Now LeBron James has got one of his own, a high ankle sprain, and LeBron James is made of titanium, and he doesn't stay hurt for long. But high ankle sprains can be nagging, and they are now missing their two superstars, and their record isn't as such that they can just sit at the number one seed and lose a handful of games until the guys get better. They're in the fight somewhere around 4 right now for positioning for the playoffs, and depending on how long these two guys are out and how bunched up the West is, who knows where the Lakers are going to end up beginning the postseason.
Mitch, you look at the standings now in the Western Conference. The Lakers are 28-15, and we still don't know when Anthony Davis is going to play basketball again. And high ankle sprains can be more than nagging. They can be debilitating. Okay. Now you look at the standings, and you go down to the San Antonio Spurs, who we have barely mentioned this season. They're 22-17. They are 2 games worse in the 7-hole than the Lakers are in the loss column. And the Dallas Mavericks, who got off to a terrible start and are really starting to ball now, they're 4 games worse than the Lakers in the loss comp. There's no telling how far the Lakers can fall. And if you look at the team they put out on the court last night, I mean, Schroeder and Harrell were their two top scorers. That team that was playing basketball last night against the Suns and got beat up, okay, that is not a playoff team.
No, well, this year, more than ever, just get in. You don't have to worry about seeding. You have to worry about home court disadvantage or anything else. Just get in. That's all. I mean, this is true for everybody. Seeding is absolutely...
Well, yeah, just get in is not the same. I mean, you still have to play a tougher team if you're lower seeded. You know,
I understand that, but we've just got through saying that there's a lot of parity here. So, you know, we were just talking about parity in college. There's a lot of parity in that West, I think. And so that's all. I'm just saying, they just got to get in. And
well, there hadn't been, though. I mean, the West is interesting. It's been a year of surges. You know, the Lakers at one point looked like they were going to just run away with the thing, and they have definitely come back to the pack. The Phoenix has had its surges, and Utah continues to dazzle people, and they're 30-11. But this was something that, look, we mentioned it before, and we don't want to be grim reapers about this. But at some point, LeBron James will come back to earth physically. And we saw that one little glimpse of it when he had the groin injury. And, you know, high ankle injuries, as Mike points out, these can be debilitating. It depends. Yeah. You know, nobody wants to say that about LeBron James because he did come back onto the court and play for a couple minutes before it probably swelled up to the point that he couldn't move anymore. But that you can't expect from a guy who's in his mid-30s. It's the one to Anthony Davis that probably surprised people, and how long that's taking to come back. And, you know, when they do get back, they're going to have to adjust their game, because clearly they're going to play a much different game without the two of them in there than they are when one or two of them comes back. So they got their work cut out for them.
Oh, they do. This is very, very serious stuff. There's no question. You can't downplay the loss of those two guys to that team. You know, the team is built around them. You fill them in with, you know, 50 different people. As long as you got those two, you got a chance to go somewhere. No, absolutely. It's just terrible timing and terrible
by
for
the
everybody.
Way, when you look at what the Jazz are doing, okay, and it is they're having dazzling is a great word. It's Mitch, you're right. They are having a dazzling season under a guy who, you know, a guy known a long time, and I think he's a great coach and paid his dues. Okay, and that's Quinn Snyder. But when you look at the Jazz never go away. Okay, the Jazz are always competitive year to year. The Suns are one of those teams that tore it down and built it back up, and now they are extremely formidable and are going to be dangerous. But Bob and Mitch, how about what the Philadelphia 76ers are just two games worse than the best record, which is the Jazz. They're 30-13. The Jazz are 30-11. And they haven't had Embiid lately. The Jazz have had their best players for most of this season, okay? The job that Doc Rivers is doing with the Sixers, who stole one from the Knicks last night, is quite remarkable. And when Embiid is healthy again, because, guys, he was as much an MVP candidate so far as James Harden has been with the Brooklyn Nets, okay? The Sixers, we thought they were just going to wander in the wilderness forever despite all the talent they have. Maybe not.
No, I think they've got a self-belief. They believe in themselves. They believe in what's going on here. Yeah. No, they're going to be very dangerous. They are. No, I don't think there's any question about that.
And the Brooklyn Nets just keep, they kind of just keep rolling along. And you wonder what they're going to look like when all three of those guys are playing together come playoff time. Because guess what? The sampling, Mitch, continues to be extremely small.
The Brooklyn Nets remind me of like Hamilton, the Broadway show. It's like you can go one night and one of the guys might be out and it's still going to be a great show and you're not even going to notice and somebody else is going to step in and they're going to be great too. And you end up talking to your friends and saying, well, I saw Hamilton. Did you? Oh, I saw it with a different guy. And that was still the same show. The Nets, for whatever reason, just seem to be able to put the show out on the floor no matter who they're running it through. And we continue to have to say, maybe it's a one-year illusion, but the way that James Harden is playing this year is not the way that he has played in the past, and is exactly the way he needs it to play to be an asset to Brooklyn and not a detriment. And he has been. And he's also, I think, been their healthiest player, if you talk about the other two guys. So, they're just a remarkable show. Like I say, they're Hamilton.
And
any
Bob,
night you watch them.
They've got guys off the bench that I didn't even know were on their bench. Did you know that Nicholas Claxton was a Brooklyn Net? Because he came off the bench last night, just the kid from Georgia, comes off the bench to score 16 points last night. I didn't even know they had him.
7-10. Vaguely, no, not really, no. Landry Schmidt's given them some good moments, too, by the way, this year.
And Mitch, your guy, Blake Griffin, it's a start. He got a dunk, Mitch.
He dunked.
He dunked, yeah. Yeah.
Look, he'll be one of those guys that one night he'll have a good game, you know, and they'll say, isn't it great that we have Blake Griffin on this team? But that's the kind of team that they are. They only need one night from some of those supplementary players in a playoff game, and on the other nights the big three will take it. If they ever get everybody all together, it's frightening what they might be able to do.
And that conference now, because of the top, Bob, the top of that conference, that's extremely interesting, because very quietly the Bucks have started to roll too. And guess what? Guess who's made a big move up the standings?
Miami.
A team you didn't even know was still in the league, Ryan. The Atlanta Hawks have won 8 in a row. and are now 22 and 20, and I think are in the fourth spot. Yeah, they are. They're in the fourth spot.
They had fallen into that. Are they right? Are they still in the league mood? You know, for many years. That's right. It is a surprise. I was going to say one more thing about the Nets. Irving continually reminds me how incredibly talented he is. He walks in the other night, hadn't played. He got 40. He just dropped in and got 40. Yeah, he's,
that's what's so maddening about him. Oh. He is that talented, and yet he's so often like just.
And Mitch. Mysterious. The world will not long note, or maybe even remember that Nate McMillan, who I always thought did a great job in Indiana, is now coaching the Hawks, and Trae Young is one of the most fun players in the league. And again, because nobody even knew they were still playing, nobody's paying attention to him. I think he's averaging like 27 points a game or something like that. No, they played really great lately.
That coaching change, that may have been something that they needed. Obviously, everybody. You know, in the business, it felt bad for Lloyd Pierce, but obviously they responded quite well to Nate McMillan. Yeah, no question. Yeah.
And the New York Knicks right now are a playoff team.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they played a very well. I watched the end of it last night because it ended with some controversy about a rebounding foul and whether the Knicks had challenged. And Julius Randle ought to shut up, was once again stormed out. I want to say, Julius, you're having a nice year, but you're not the storm out of the press conference guy. You know, you're not that guy. So we don't care what you
storm out of the press. What do you have to do to become the storm out of the press conference guy?
I think you've got to have a little more than one.
You got to have a little more cachet.
Thank you. Cachet, Bob. And again, he's been their best player by a lot. But I'm pretty sure if you look at the highlights of the game, Mitch, the refs did not make Julius Randle miss a pretty good look at the buzzer that would have won the game for his basketball team.
All right, moving on to the NFL, but not before we have a word from our new friends at X-Chair. Hey, folks, usually you sit in an office chair all day, then you move to a comfortable chair at night and grab a back massager to get rid of the aches, pains, and stiffness from the office chair, right? Well, that's why you need X-Chair. I've got one. I love it. Why do I love my X-Chair? It isn't just their patented dynamic variable lumbar or DVL support for my lower back, but their new XHMT technology, which gives me heat and massage therapy right at my desk. I'm not kidding. I've never had an office chair that looks or feels so amazing. It targets each and every one of my aches and pains, makes me look forward to spending time in the chair every day. You can't understand it until you sit in one yourself. X-Chair is on sale now for $100 off. That's right. You can go to xchairreporters.com now. That's the letter xchairreporters.com or call 1-844-4-X-CHAIR. X-Chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort, and you can finance your purchase for as little as $30 a month. Go to xchairreporters.com now and use the code XWHEELS for free X-Wheel blade casters. Yeah, you can roll around on those. xchairreporters.com. All right, I think last time we talked, and this has got you need a scorecard now to keep up. I think there had been two or three lawsuits filed against Deshaun Watson, the Texans quarterback, and now they're up to seven with promises by that it's going to go to 12. Now, we should caution everybody who's listening that all the accusations made against Deshaun Watson are coming through a single lawyer representing all the cases. Nonetheless, when you have that many various charges of similar nature, that's a lot of smoke that suggests a fire. And I am wondering what this does to Deshaun Watson in Houston and what this does to Deshaun Watson on anybody else's potential roster, as he had been hot trade bait for a long time. And now, who knows? Would you touch Deshaun Watson now if you're an NFL team?
Well, according to Aaron Wilson's reporting in the Houston Chronicle, there are still six teams interested in trading for Deshaun Watson, maybe thinking they can get him on a better deal now. I mean, the Jets and the Panthers and the Broncos and the Dolphins. And then again, Wilson cites a lot of sources in this story. And yeah, Mitch, by the way, it's not just masseuses. The more you read about this story, the more unusual it gets. The occupations of the women coming forward range from masseuse to trainer to something that I did not even know was a thing, guys. Maybe Mitch has got an aestheticist, okay? But I've never heard an aestheticist, Mitch. Yeah. Mitch has got one, I'm sure. But
I don't even know what that word means.
Mitch, I'm telling you, I read in the Washington Post the other day, and I said, damn it. That could have been a game changer for me, having an aestheticist.
Well, I think the pattern that is starting to emerge is that, you know, he was finding people on Instagram. And Instagram, as we know, is a visual service. And, you know, it doesn't take a genius to start to put together, oh, well, that's a good-looking aesthetist or whatever the word is.
Aestheticist. It's aesthetics, yeah. And then it's an assist at the end.
Yeah, and then, you know, why don't you come by and I need a massage? It's very disturbing. I find that hard to believe. I mean, that reporting, I don't know what he's basing that on, you know, but do you really think a team would trade for this guy right now while this stuff was hanging over? I mean, this is potential go to jail stuff. You know, this isn't just, oh boy, we're going to have to issue an apology for if I insulted anybody.
No, Bob and Mitch, one of the things that Mike Florio noted in his reporting about this at NBC Sports was that these teams are apparently interested, even though they know that the league really hasn't even gotten involved yet. And you know, again, nobody knows how far down the tracks this story is going to go. Nobody knows. It's still quite early, as even as the women continue to come forward. But he could be facing a serious and lengthy suspension for this. Okay, and we know how slowly the NFL moves on this stuff. But it just shows you, if you have value as an athlete, if you have the kind of portfolio that Watson did, it's amazing how redemptive sports can be. I was thinking as I was reading the story that Andrew Cuomo probably wishes he could get traded somewhere right now out of the state of New York, because he's, again, there's no similar stories, but he's facing multiple accusations from women about inappropriate behavior, except he can't run and throw the way Deshaun Watson can.
Oh. You can't trade him off to Arizona or anything like that, or North Dakota. I think the answer, I'm
not touching
stunned.
Him if it's
nothing
my team,
stuns
Bob
me.
And Mitch. I'm not touching him, okay? I'm not touching him. And I'm not touching him now, and I don't know how long it will take for in answer to your question, Mitch, I'm not making a deal for this guy now. No.
Well, because it's not just his talent, Mike. There have been other players who have had stuff like this, and you say, are you going to sign him for a year? You know, teams take a chance on a year, you know, a guy, maybe we can rehabilitate him. He's got a massive contract that's worth somewhere in the neighborhood of $40 million a year. You're going to take that on?
I don't think so. No, I know what you're saying, Mitch. And again, a couple weeks ago, before this happened, I wrote a column about the Jets and saying you gotta, if there's any chance that you can get this guy with being able to deal the number two pick in this draft, okay, then they have to go after them, because the endless search for the next Namath has gone on for half a century now with the New York Jets. But that was then, this is now. And knowing this, and here's the thing, I wanted to ask you guys about this, okay? We keep hearing from his attorney, Rusty Harden, okay, that we will get an official statement on all of this, not on social media, an official presentation of Watson's view of this. But it keeps... He keeps waiting. And if you've been falsely accused, and again, I know that there's no playbook for this. If you've been falsely accused like this, okay, you do something other than wait to establish a nuanced legal position, because clearly that's what we're going to get when he comes forward.
Yeah. He made an initial statement, or his attorney made an initial statement at the very first charge. You know, I look forward to clearing my name. This isn't true. Blah, blah, blah. And then went very quiet as the charges started to pile up. And I think maybe with one, you thought, well, we can take my word against theirs. Whatever. You start to see a pattern here, and there, I'm sure his lawyer is justly advising him, let's not say anything until we see exactly the totality of what we're being accused of, or you may end up looking stupid by saying something in the middle of it. And I don't know, if this guy's really got 12 different people coming out of the woodwork, that's a lot of charges. That's a lot of smoke.
You can create a narrative, okay? And Mitch, we're both novelists, okay? You can create a narrative that this, let's just say, for the sake of this conversation, let's say that these charges are true. Maybe not from all of the women, but from most of those women. And maybe this was his way of meeting women in the time of COVID. I'm not being dismissive of this. I'm just saying, for the purpose of this conversation, and reaching out on Instagram, and I saw something where, well, he did, you know, this was the safer. I don't know how that can be possibly safer than simply maybe skipping it. Okay, but this maybe this was a sense of fame and entitlement and extremely stupid and a bad judgment.
I don't even want to speculate. We'll just see. But I do think that this changes the narrative on how many teams are interested, despite whatever reporting might say. It would be a massive story if he gets traded for at this stage, and that team would have a lot to answer to beyond just its football futures if they made that move.
It would be, here's a what if for you, okay? And again, the charges are completely different. We had evidence, we had video evidence, okay? What if Ray Rice had been 25 years old and coming off a 2,000 rushing yard season? When what happened with his then fiance, now his wife, happened and the whole world saw. Here's my question before we put this whole subject to bed. Would that have been a career ender for Rice, as opposed to him being at the end of his career and coming off his injury and having no real value in the eyes of his sport? If he'd been great, would he have gotten another job?
I don't think there's any question, Mike. I think he was highly expendable at that time. I totally, that's what I believe.
Mitch, what do you think?
You know, that in that case, I mean, the woman involved kind of stood by him. They had this video that they were, it was so damning. But he did the apology thing. He did the retribution thing. He did the rehabilitation thing. It's one case. I think if he had all that talent, somebody else would have said, you know, we've dealt with him and he knows exactly what he did. And he and his girlfriend, fiance are working it out and that. It's a lot different when you're kind of coming across as a serial, you know, practitioner of this stuff.
Yes, yes.
I don't know. I mean, we're going to get that'll be put to the test because there is no better player right now, market, you know, age-wise, talent-wise, than he is. So this isn't Rice. This is exactly that scenario that you're talking about, a guy in his prime. Let's see where it takes.
And I mean, let me just say this, okay? Because there's a key line. I think Busby is the name of the lawyer for the women, okay?
Yeah, Busby.
And while it's been reported that all of the women involved who have filed so far are only seeking what is called the jurisdictional minimum of $500, Busby says they will be seeking, quote, any and all damages to which they may be entitled.
You know,
only comes after the criminal thing is determined, isn't it?
Yep.
Or if there isn't, if there is or isn't something.
Yep.
You know, I just want to say we have Exhibit A ongoing, and just in general terms, not with these specific type of charges, but a guy who has been a deviant, to say the least, continual recidivist, and Antonio Brown continues to be employed. Why? Because he's still damn good.
Yep. There you go.
All right, before we get to our parting shots, one final word from our friends at GEICO.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too. because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All right, this week's parting shots are brought to you by American Giant. American Giant makes clothing that's durable and made to last. Try it for yourself. You'll feel the difference. Get 15% off your first order when you use the promo code REPORTERS at American-Giant.com. That's 15% when you use the code REPORTERS at American-Giant.com. Time for our parting shots. Bob Ryan, lead us off.
Now, parting shots.
In the fall of 1962, a skinny 6'4" bespectacled guard entered Syracuse University. Jim Boeheim is still there, and now he is taking the 12th team to the Sweet 16. He's not a coaching angel. His hand's been caught in the cookie jar on occasion, but this hardly distinguishes him in that profession. The irrefutable fact is that no prominent Division I coach in history has ever been more associated with one school than Jim Boeheim and Syracuse. Not Wooden, not Smith, not Knight, not Lord knows Patino. Going way back, not Rupp or even Naismith. Jim Boeheim is Syracuse basketball. His 2-3 zone is Syracuse basketball. Jim Boeheim taking a Syracuse team to a regional is not news. That, at age 76, he is doing it now with his son as his best player, is totally fictional. I offer my congratulations.
Okay, it's established and well established by now what an odd and sometimes wonderful sports event the NCAA men's basketball tournament is, even though I continue to remind even family members that I hope I'm not giving off a vibe that I'm interested in how they're doing in their brackets. And I will say again, just off the first weekend of play, what a national broadcast treasure Bill Raftery has become as he approaches his 78th birthday. But I say this with love to a lot of play-by-play people and analysts and even studio people covering this tournament. Stop acting like kids on a sugar high. Stop yelling about the madness and the dance and where's my damn remote, Cinderella. I know there aren't many fans in the stands. You don't have to broadcast these games like you're trying to out-yell the ones who are. As another team, wait for it, punches its ticket to the Sweet 16.
When I was younger, I remember how my mother sometimes dealt with frustration. She went shopping. Buying a little something made her feel like the future was more hopeful. Perhaps that's what's going on in New England these days. The Patriots, a team that traditionally abhorred spending money, has thrown it around like sailors on shore leave. By the time it's all done, Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft will likely have shelled out to free agents and others $172 million in guaranteed money, which, as some have noted, is exactly what Kraft paid for the entire team 27 years ago. Kraft has likened this to investing in the stock market, buying when prices are depressed because fewer teams have money to spend. Maybe. Or maybe it's what happens when your star quarterback says bye-bye and wins a Super Bowl with someone else's team the very next year. One thing is for sure, that $172 million isn't coming back. We'll see if the Patriots do. That's going to wrap it up for today's program. We do the Sports Reporters Podcast Mondays and Thursdays, so we'll see you in just a few days. If you like what you heard, leave us a comment or a rating. We always appreciate those. And you can find this broadcast wherever you find popular podcasts, at Apple and Stitcher and Spotify and Pandora and the others. Until we see you again, on behalf of Bob Ryan and Mike Lupica, I'm Mitch Albom saying, have a great week.
You have a great week too, Sister Jean.